Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Micro Brands. Lunch with Norm. All right, so welcome back to another podcast. I'm joined today by Tom Meek. Tom is the business development manager at Avask. It's an accounting and business consulting firm with a particular focus on corporate and private entrepreneurs' accounts selling on global e-commerce platforms. So focusing on a lot of Amazon accounts. Anyways, in today's episode, we are going to be diving deep into how you can properly prepare your business for global expansion and how to stay tax compliant. Now, before I get into that, let's talk with Kelsey.
Hello.
Hey, Kelsey. Oh, I should be telling everybody that we are broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. I should be telling people about smashing likes and ringing bells and all that stuff. Or am I taking away the job from you?
That's my one and only job.
Oh, sorry.
all right. So yeah, smash those like buttons. Like and share the video. I see that we already have a couple of likes coming in.
We have
Angie coming in from
LinkedIn. Angie.
Hello, Angie. How are you? So this is going to be a great episode and we're looking forward to it. You can follow us on social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. If you happen to miss some of the episode, you can always go to the YouTube channel. It's Norman Farrar, and all the full episodes will be there along with some fun highlights and all that good stuff. But we are a podcast too. So Apple and Spotify, you can find us there. Just search Lunch with Norm and that's about it. Oh, and how are you doing today, folks? Let us know in the comments. And how's your Wednesday? Anything new? How's your coffee? And we got Marina joining us. Hello,
hey, Marina. Hey, Marina. A nice warm Toronto day. I can't believe it.
Oh, yes. And before I forget, I always forget to say this, but we do have a pretty big giveaway today.
It's the biggest giveaway we've ever given away.
Yeah. So stick around. Who knows? Maybe you'll have to answer a question from the podcast today. I don't know. Listen to the podcast.
Be honest, we don't know.
Okay, great. Awesome. So that's it for me and we'll get started.
Okay. So just to add, so if you are on a replay, skip ahead and you can just watch this, get right into it and see what Tom and I are talking about. If you are on my personal Facebook page, it's always good to skip over to the official fan page at Norman Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and you'll see a lot of, you'll see the whole episode as well as highlights and video. I just realized I didn't turn my phone off, and I can just imagine it's going to go off at any time. I'll try to turn that off in a second. Anyways, look, if you have questions, like Kelsey said, throw them over into the comment area and we will try to get to every question. If not, we will have we'll have Tom answer them a little bit later on. So the major thing that we can do right now is just sit back, relax, grab your cup of coffee and enjoy the show. All right, Tom, where are you?
Hello.
Hello, sir. It's been a while since we've been able to get together.
It's been a very long time. I think we must be coming up nearly a year now, surely.
Yeah. Where was it? In San Francisco?
It was.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. It was, I think, at the beginning of this year. So absolutely flown by.
So all I can remember, guys, if you were a fly on the wall at this dinner that we went out to, I think my stomach is still hurting. I've got a ton of pictures that I can blackmail, you know, most of the people at this company. And Oksana was there and she was, it was incredible. We had a blast. And so the reason I'm bringing that up is that we really didn't know each other. We went to one other conference that we sat down and, you know, had a few drinks. But we met a second time almost a week apart and just really got to know each other. And from that time on, now you've got that network. So I always like to bring in how you can expand your business, how you can expand your network. And it doesn't have to be about business. We don't think we talked at all about business during probably 90% of the time, 99% of the time we were there. So
yeah,
that's always a benefit. And I've got those pictures where if I ever need a little bit of cash,
please don't bring them out today. Right. Yeah. Also, just to add to that, you know, I still speak to everyone that we met that day on every month at least. So it's great to stay in touch with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, Oksana's usually on because we'll see her make a comment here. So I wonder if she's there, and I'm sure she remembered that. So anyways, it was a great night and also got a chance to really get to know you. So for us that don't know you and do not know your company, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Tom. I manage the international business development team here and have done for almost 3 years now, which has gone extremely quickly. What does the company do? Well, we're an accounting and business consultants. Ultimately, our mission as a company is to really help entrepreneurs and e-commerce sellers that are looking to expand their business and essentially help them with the VAT, taxes, sales tax, GST, whatever it might be, when looking at the new opportunity in that marketplace. So trying to simplify everything in bite-sized chunks whilst making sure that we offer a very high level of consultancy and being able to assist sellers all over the world. We deal with something silly like over 50 countries. Our clients are from over 10,000 clients and over 20 languages. And everyone asks me what languages I speak, just the one, which is very disappointing. I know, I'm sorry. But in terms of who we are and what we do, we assist with companies worldwide to help with their expansion objectives through helping them with their sort of VAT registration and compliance services.
You you brought up translation, and we always talk about making sure that you use professionals. That's one area where you want to use a translator. I got just a quick story for you. We were printing some cards up, and so for this one company. And the company said that they would take care of the Spanish translation. I'm in Canada. I would take care of the Canadian or the French and the English, of course. And the cards went out. These were New Year's and Christmas cards. Well, we started getting complaints about the Spanish translation. It was Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Ass. So we got, and of course we were blamed for it, right? You know, oh, of course. But anyways, we got them to sign off. So always remember to sign off, you know, to make sure that you're, you know, it doesn't fall back on you. But anyways, let's talk about, this is a really great topic today. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed when I talk to a lot of different Amazon sellers, that they think .com is it. And when I've gone to events all over, if I'm in Europe or, you know, this really kicked in when I was at an Israeli conference and with Tomer Rabinovich at his Top Dog conference. And we were talking to all these people over there and people were saying, oh, yeah, like, you know, I'm $1 million seller only in Europe. I don't want to go to .com. And you hear more and more of that sort of mentality where a lot of the European sellers think that there's less competition over in the EU. And why bother? Because it's so competitive over in .com. And on the other side of it, there's a lot of .comers that don't realize the potential over in Europe because they think it's a hard and arduous task. Why don't we talk about that? Do you think this is still the case?
Absolutely. I think, it always seems to be whenever you speak to a seller, wherever they're sort of incorporated, wherever they're from, they know the tax system. That's what they're used to. But when they start looking at other marketplaces, even the slight change in terminology from sales tax to VAT, no, not going to touch it, scares people off. And it's amazing, really, because I speak to so many different sellers all around the world on a daily basis, and they just the basics stay the same. You know, you still have those thresholds in place. You still need to know the same, you know, guidelines on expanding, but just very slight tweaks in the different marketplaces that are available. But definitely agree with that statement. Yeah.
So if you could give us just a couple 1-2-3s about how hard is it to set up? If I want to go to the EU right now, start selling, what are a couple of things that I've got to keep in mind?
Yeah, of course. So it depends on a number of different things, but I would say as a US-based seller that's looking to expand to the EU, well, firstly, the first thing that people trip up on is whether they need to actually establish a new entity in the EU or UK. And you don't. It's so, so straightforward. You can actually use your US entity to set up a VAT number in the EU. And that's what you need to be able to actually start storing your stock there. So firstly, you don't need to incorporate a new subsidiary or new company in the EU. You can use your current company. I would say number two is sales tax and VAT are very similar, but they are also very different, which I know is a little bit confusing. But the reason I say that is because when you look at sales tax is added at checkout. And it's not incorporated within the sale price, whereas VAT is incorporated within the sale price. So making sure that when you're looking at sort of competition and looking at your opportunity and visibility online, it's very important to understand that that sale price is inclusive of tax, that 20% VAT, that value added tax, which is the equivalent to the sales tax in the USA. And then another very common thing that people need to realize when expanding into the EU is, yes, you need a VAT number wherever you're storing your products, similar to physical Nexus, but you've also got the benefits of thresholds in place when you trade from one country to another. So don't think from the start that you need to have all of your VAT numbers in place before you can actually start selling in the EU. You can actually have just your VAT number in, let's say, Germany, and then you can take the benefits of selling from Germany into France, to Italy, into Spain, and so on. So it's actually much, much easier than people think, as long as you get a company like Avask or one of the other providers out there to guide you on that step-by-step as to what you actually need to think about before you get to the marketplace and before you start selling.
There is a threshold before you have to start paying VAT tax. What is that threshold?
So there's a number of things that could be referring to there. So as a US client, for example, that's looking to start selling in the UK or EU, which I'm sure we'll come on to later with Brexit and all things concerning that. But ultimately, what you need is a VAT number as soon as you start storing products in that country. Okay, so that's the main thing. Similar to physical Nexus, as soon as you've got your stock stored there, you're going to need to have that sales tax number. In terms of, you know, looking at what is actually required, or looking at the threshold, as you said, unless you're going to incorporate as a UK or, you know, maybe a German or French company, for example, if you look at the UK and you incorporate a UK entity, which I would say it's very, very unlikely that a seller would want to do that, then there are some tax benefits, such as like the 85,000 threshold before you need to register for VAT. Usually that is for UK residents. But in the main, it's important to realize that if you are a US seller looking to expand to the UK or EU market, it's very, very straightforward. And all you need is that VAT number and an EORI number, which will allow you to send your goods in, clear your goods at customs, where you pay the duties and the import VAT, and then you'll be able to start selling cross-border from there. So that's as straightforward as it is.
So I had a client last year who did an absolute 100% no-no. He didn't pay his tax. And, you know, if you think you're in the U.S. and you don't have to pay that tax, he got dinged almost over $800,000 pounds.
Right.
So he got away with it. I don't know how or why he would do it, but then, you know, he was trying to figure out how he can either close his business, or it didn't make sense. Like he would go under. But anyways, that happened. And, you know, if you're trying to hide, just like you are, you know, if you're doing that with the IRS, it's not a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. They will catch up. It's not, you know, you can't hide. I just noticed that we've got a bunch of people on here, and I just, at this point, just wanted to give a few shout outs out. So hard for me to read. Kelsey, if I miss anybody, let me know. I see we have right Gila here on, Yarrow's back on, Timmy's back on. Hey, glad to see you were able to get back on. I haven't seen you in a little while. And Alan, I'm expecting Alan to pipe up. He's up in, he's in Singapore, I think, today.
Yes.
But anyways, if any of you have any questions for Tom, let me know. Now, it looks like Tom's...
I think he's just adjusting to them.
Oh, we'll be back. Okay.
Yeah. I'm back.
All right. Yeah, you got me a little worried there.
No, so, I realized I was running low on juice, so I thought I'd top her up.
No problem. So the next thing I like to talk about is there's been changes, and I want to get into the changes, but what are the tax requirements when expanding into the new market?
Yeah, so tax requirements, we've touched on them very lightly, but I would say in terms of sort of general rule of thumb is, what are the tax requirements when you're looking at expanding into the UK and EU? Okay, well, there's two main reasons why any seller will need to register for VAT in the EU. And this is what you need to do if you're looking to start selling. And I'm sure there's some people here that are listening that are already selling. So the first thing is that if your products are stored in the UK or in an EU country, then you're going to need to register for VAT as soon as you actually have your product stored in that country. That's number one. So wherever you're storing, you're going to need to register for VAT. Now, with the UK and EU, again, coming on to Brexit probably a little bit later, but what you're able to do is make the most of what's called the distant selling thresholds, okay? And all that means is when you sell cross-border from one country to another, from one EU country to another. And what these thresholds actually allow you to do is they allow you to, let's say I'm going to hold my, say I'm selling phone cases. I'm going to sell them on Amazon.com, doing really well, and thinking of expanding to the EU. Well, what are the next steps? Well, I'm going to need to make a shipment from, let's say, from China. I'm going to be shipping them to Germany. Okay, so what do I need at this stage from sort of a VAT and tax point of view? Well, firstly, I need an EORI number, an EORI number, which is a number that allows you to clear your goods at customs. That's number one. Without that, your goods aren't getting in. So, you know, don't bother unless you've got it. Once you've got the EORI number, you're going to need to have a VAT number in place, of course, which comes alongside the EORI, which will allow you to then store your goods in Germany in this case. Okay. Now, as soon as you've got that VAT number in Germany, you are required to file on a monthly basis by a certain date in each country, and that differs from country to country, which is what your tax advisor will make sure that they monitor and stay on top of for you. And ultimately, it's just a case of then filing the VAT in accordance to the sales that you make. Okay, so there's two taxes. I'll break them down very, very quickly, or three really. When you bring your products from China into Germany, you're going to pay two taxes as you import. Okay, so one is an import VAT, which will be the percentage of the country that you're importing to, which in this case, 19% VAT in Germany. So you'll pay 19% import VAT on the cost value of your goods at that point. And you'll also pay customs duty. Very similar situation to shipping anywhere around the world, you'll have that duty element. So that import VAT and that import duty is calculated on the cost value of goods as you bring your products into Germany. And then once you've got them in Germany, of course, you're going to start making sales. So let's say you sell all of your products, you're going to be paying 19% sales VAT on those transactions that you sell. and you're basically acting as a tax collector for the authorities in that country, and then you're going to be required to file that VAT and pay the VAT to the authorities because you're acting as a tax collector. Now, that's not it, because you are able to reclaim the import VAT, that 19% as you came in at customs with your EORI, you're then able to reclaim that and offset that against the sales VAT due. Okay, so hopefully that's broken that down a little bit more.
I think that was really clear. I do have a question about when I'm bringing in products. So let's say I'm bringing in my soap. So this just happened in Canada. So I got nailed for labeling. So most of my product is suspended because of labeling. This just happened. And if I want to sell my soap over in Europe, are there certain things that I have to look at before I can actually, you're talking about importing, but I've got to, if I just sent over my soap right now, would it be turned away? Or how do I know what type of, what type of information I need to add to my labeling or the product specs that have to be on my product that I want to sell over there?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. And a lot of sellers don't do sort of that due diligence before they actually expand to a new market. And there's like that sort of checklist of things that you need to cross off. And I would say label compliance and understanding sort of the requirements of what's in my product. Is it actually safe? Is it eligible to be sold in this market? So, we work with a lot of partners across the board that are able to assist sort of with that label compliance and setting up in terms of making sure that your products are eligible to be sold. So we work with a company called Global E-commerce Experts that a lot of our clients use with regards to labeling and sort of just general compliance. There are sort of certain products that may be classed as dangerous in some way that might be illustrated in perhaps like a CE marking. And in some cases, you may need a representative so that your products will be compliant. So that if the government, for example, was to say, well, you know, we'd like to inspect this, then there needs to be some sort of place of fulfillment. Maybe that's a 3PL provider, which is what GEE, Global E-commerce Experts, offer, and like a registered address to that product so that there's actually one on shelf that they're able to inspect. So really important that you get that product compliance. The majority of clients that we speak to have already understood, you know, whether their products are eligible to be sold. But a good example there, soaps and different sort of moisturizers and things can sometimes be a little bit, will definitely be a little bit more cautious when expanding into new marketplaces. Just make sure you do a bit of research on the codes there. But feel free to reach out to us on a case by case and we can go through that.
And I guess it's pretty important too, depending on your product, you've got to do some audience research as well. You know, if one of the things that we did, just to give you an example, and it has nothing to do with Europe, but Japan. So we have the soap. We can sell it in North America, no problem. But when I lived in Hawaii, I noticed that there was a lot of Japanese and they would be buying anything Hawaiian. They love Hawaii. And so what I targeted was the Japanese audience loving Hawaiian soap or Hawaiian product, packaged it completely differently, sold it over in Japan, and a $10 bar of soap. Now, look, it'll be swamped with everybody. But it ended up being $24 to $30 for a bar of soap. And people loved it because it came from the U.S., but particularly Hawaii. Now, I could have done that and packaged it a completely different way, and it would have probably failed just because I knew that. So I think it's very important, even going over there, just because you're going over to Europe doesn't mean you're going to be successful. You do have to know your audience. And is that something, like if somebody went to you, to your company and said, like, this is my product. I've got, you know, these gnomes. You know, do you think it would fly? Would you give your opinion on that, or would you?
Well, I'd buy them.
I'd give you the ASIN right now.
Yeah, of course. I think it's something that we're always happy to have an open conversation about. And it really depends on the product range. Obviously, we're happy to give an opinion. We know our market. We live in the UK, but there's also the rest of the EU, Italian, French, German, Spanish. And I can't speak for all of them, unfortunately.
Right.
But in terms of sort of product research, knowing your business, knowing your numbers, of course, and also just understanding what would be well received in each market is extremely important. Which is why we always encourage sellers to bring over a number of assets to Europe when they do come, not just bring their number one in the US, because you really want to test the market. You want to get a good understanding for what sells well where. So a lot of people will tend to sort of dip their toe in the water as such before they then really start going in on sort of the advertising and making sure that they've got everything set up and really pushing hard. So I would say it's definitely a case of easing in. But in answer to your question, we would hate to say, no, that wouldn't sell well. They sell and it does sell well. We don't want that on us, but always happy to give our open opinion on what they're selling. And if I see a product, I'm like, that is awesome. I think that would sell really well, of course.
The other thing I'd be looking at too is like for sellers, is there a bottom line where, okay, you shouldn't even look at Europe or expanding. I know what I tell people, like you got to optimize .com before you start looking elsewhere. But is there a number, like if you're not doing $20,000 a month, don't bother looking, or $10,000, I don't know. Is there a number or a rough ballpark that people should be looking at in the .com arena before they start selling over there?
I get asked this question so much, and it's, of course, it's a difficult question to answer because there's no right or wrong answer to this. However, there's a number of things that I've put this down to, and yes, revenue or turnover in the US is really important before you actually expand. So I think it comes down to, yes, do you have the capital to invest in getting your products here with the shipping, with the VAT numbers, the compliance, translations, all those sorts of things that you need to bear in mind before you get there. I would say typically sellers that are sort of turning over really bottom line to $300,000-$400,000 per annum would be sort of that lower benchmark in terms of expanding to Europe. Saying that, some people have been very successful lower, but a lot of people that seems to be generally sort of a couple of $100,000 plus is starting to be where sellers tend to be before looking at expanding. But that, you can look at that in two ways, because when you look at trading in the UK and EU, there's a number of different tactics you can take. If I speak to a seller that's turning over 50 million in the US and they're looking to start launching in the UK and EU, my advice would be very different to someone that's turning over, as you say, like 10,000 a month, for example. Because you can, as I said before, you can sort of dip your toe in the water and start with one country and trade under the distance selling thresholds into the others. Or you can go absolutely, full guns blazing, and you can register for VAT in all of the countries and have that prime eligibility if you're on Amazon FBA, and have the quicker shipping, the local local fulfillment fees instead of sort of cross-border fees. There's a number of different advantages from going all the way, but it's also much heavier cost. So I would say, in answer to your question, I would say yes, sellers tend to have that benchmark before they expand, but it depends on resources, it depends on sort of the capital, it depends on the time that they've got to actually invest in the research and all of the other things that come alongside it.
Okay, and you were just talking about, again, multi-country. The benefits of registering or working with pan-European, so we can take advantage of it, because you don't have to take advantage of it, but what are the advantages of being registered to use pan-European?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so to take a step back to go forward, so what we're referring to here is with FBA, all about fulfillment, of course. It's all about where your products are stored. Now, if you look at the technical term is EFN versus MCI and Pan-EU, so it's all about how many countries you're storing in. So if you look at an EFN setup, which stands for European Fulfillment Network, as we go back to that example I used earlier with Germany, you bring your iPhone cases in from China, they get cleared at customs, you've got your product stored in Germany, then if you're under the EFN, it means your products are just stored in Germany and you're selling cross-border into France, into Italy, into Spain, which is the great thing about Europe because it's got multiple marketplaces within the EU, within that territory, unlike the US. So you've got multiple different countries to sell to under the threshold. Everyone has a different sales threshold, most common €35,000 per calendar year. But what that allows you to do is only have tax compliance requirements in just the one country. So you only need to register and comply with the taxes in Germany until you breach those thresholds. Now, on the other side, if you look at pan-European, the pan-European means that you're storing your stock in really six countries post-Brexit, or seven, including the UK currently. So you send your products into Germany, Amazon will get, or whatever country you pick for that matter, and then Amazon will then redistribute your products across the other countries. So UK, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Poland, and Czech Republic make up what's called the Pan-European program. Benefits of that compared to the EFN is, well, if my products are in Germany on the EFN and I'm selling to a buyer in the UK, it's going to take a hell of a long time to actually get there. Whereas if my products are already in the UK because Amazon have already distributed them across their network, it's going to be much quicker. So it's prime eligibility. You also pay the local fulfillment fee through FBA if you are already in the country, as opposed to selling from Germany to the UK, which is a cross-border fee, or Germany to Italy, whatever it might be. So they're the two main benefits, I would say. And obviously, there's hundreds of millions of Prime subscribers out there. I'm one of them. I filter by Prime. If your products aren't on Prime, I'm not going to see them, because I want the next day delivery. So you're really cutting your market off unless your products are close enough to your buyers, which is where the Pan-European program comes into full effect.
Great. Just one sec. I know I was going to cough. So.
Okay. You're wishing I was talking for a bit longer there.
Yeah, just 5 seconds more would have been okay. So, all right. So, Kels, can we talk? There's two questions, I think.
Yeah. So, one is a comment from Timmy.
Okay.
Guys, due diligence is needed when planning to sell in a new territory. Stuff like names on labels, which have different meanings, which might be offensive in another language. So, I think that's pretty fair to say. Do your research.
Definitely. Yeah. On the translation side, it's so important to get right. As you said, Noam, with your cards, translations, a lot of people go on the cheap side and do Google Translate. Translations isn't sort of our forte as a company, but it's part of the journey that we take people through, because it's essential to get right. Yes, you can use Google Translate. I wouldn't advise it, but there's some companies out there that are very competitive that will do everything for you, and you'll find that your sales will be boosted because of having the localized language. And I'm sure you've had Yana on from YLT.
Who Not also yet, met. She's coming. But I was just going to say that's where you should go. Just talk to Jana. And Kelsey, we'll post that at the bottom here for translation. I mean, that's the person to talk to. I mean, Google Translate, if you're trying to do it on the cheap, even if you hire somebody from Fiverr, there's certain words that, they'll go to, for $5, they'll go to Google Translate for you. But you got to do it. You have to make sure you translate it properly, or things can get lost. But anyways, yeah, let's make sure that we put Jana's contact information at the bottom.
And the next one is from Marina. I don't sell directly to consumers in Europe, but I have an online store in France that buys wholesale from me and resells. Do the same rules apply? Is there anything I should be aware of? So far, just shipping products to them, not registered anywhere.
Right, okay. I mean, there's quite a lot of things that come into play when looking at directly buying through wholesale as well. So I don't directly... don't sell directly to consumers in Europe, but I have an online store in France that buys wholesale from me and resells. Okay, so the rules are very similar, but it really does depend on a number of different things. So what I would recommend on this one is to reach out to us separately so that we can understand a little bit more about your situation, where they're selling to, and what the requirements are. obviously VAT registration is required if you're physically holding stock in a country. And that's really, really important. So you may need to register, but where your structure might be slightly different from sort of a standard e-commerce seller that's selling direct to consumer, then that may slightly differ the advice that we give. But feel free to reach out to myself, and we can sort of take that on sort of directly.
Very good.
Okay, and one just came in from Yaro. If I have a listing with 200 reviews in US, can I use it in the EU? Will the reviews be shared forever and timely added from all the marketplaces?
Great question. So with reviews previously, and I have to say previously, I'm not 100% right now, but previously, let's say four to 6 months ago, it was the case that when you had US reviews and you launched in the EU, your reviews did follow. Now, I don't know whether that's still the requirement or still the process now, but I knew that certainly for a certain period of time, it would be a requirement and would be the process that Amazon would follow. And that can be reflected in some new marketplaces. I've heard it happened in Australia as well, but that's the process as far as I'm aware. Before, it didn't happen. Previously, and as in recently, I have seen that happen, but you might need to double check that.
Okay. And I just wanted to remind everybody that in a few minutes, we're going to be giving away an incredible prize, the biggest prize we've ever given away in the podcast history. So anybody that's listening, if you've got friends, go out, get them, make sure they're listening. And also, Tom is going to be hitting some of the most interesting topics in the next few minutes. So, and that is the changes. What is happening with Europe right now with the changes to tax and with Briex?
Absolutely. So, I was waiting for this question. it's always an exciting one for everyone, of course. Brexit. I'm sure everyone's familiar with Brexit. Obviously, the UK is leaving the EU. We've been through a transition period for the whole of this year, and we are officially, obviously the UK will be a separate entity from the EU as from the 31st of December. So 1st of January, 2020, we will be separate, okay? So as you've probably noticed when I've gone through a lot of these examples, I've been very cautious with the countries I've used on the basis that the UK is gonna be separate. So if you think that, especially for those people that are listening to the podcast today that are selling already from the UK into the EU, that's the most common theme that we see. People use the UK, it's easy to register, it's easy customs clearance, it's easy to distance sell into Germany, France, to Spain. So from that point, a lot of people are relying on Amazon FBA from the UK under the European Fulfillment Network, which is where you're distance selling into Germany, France, Italy, and Spain, which before the end of this year is absolutely fine. As we come on to the 1st of January and moving forward from there, it's really, really important that everyone understands that FBA, so Amazon, will not be fulfilling orders from the UK cross-border into the EU. That's the main point, okay? And vice versa, from the EU to the UK. So I want to touch on a few points on that and also give you a couple of actionable steps off the back of that that you can take away and make sure that you stay compliant when you do expand or whether you have expanded already. So with that in mind, obviously there's a new customs border that has arisen from the UK to the EU. So if you're sending an item from any country to any country, let's say UK, to keep it simple, to Germany, then as you send that product direct to a consumer in Germany, that product's going to be liable to import duties and import VAT as well. Okay. Now that import VAT is reclaimable if you're VAT registered in the country that you're selling to. So there's benefits of registering in countries that you're selling most stock to. But what the main point of all of this is, how do you prepare? And this is sort of more of the actionable steps. Well, first of all, you're going to need an additional VAT number if you haven't got it already. So let's say hypothetically, most people watching are going to be already registered in the UK. You're going to be wanting to sell to the EU. How would you go about that? Well, you need an additional VAT number in the EU. So let's pick Germany. You register for VAT in Germany. Well, that takes a couple of months minimum. So bear that in mind with where we are in the year. Prepare yourself, get ready. Make sure you pick a country that's maybe a bit quicker than Germany, although it's the largest market in the EU. Maybe it's France, maybe it's Italy. And then what you need to do is split your inventory. Speak to your shipping provider. Make sure that they send some stock into the UK to cater for the UK. It's its own country. It's its own marketplace. There is no inventory transfers. There's no cross-selling. So you need to have the UK catering for itself. And then you need to have shipments going to the EU as well to make sure that you have the EU catering for itself. And remember, the same FBA rules apply, that sort of MCI, Pan-EU, that cross-border fulfillment when you're in the EU still is operating and the Pan-EU program is still operating. It's just not from the UK because the Pan-EU and the European Fulfillment Network is all about the EU, which the UK will no longer be part of. Okay. So it's really, really important that everyone understands that. So the additional VAT number or two VAT numbers, one in the UK, one in the EU as a minimum, okay, or more. The second point is the EORIs. So the EORI number, when we track back to the start, we talked about what an EORI number is. It's a number that allows you to clear your goods at customs. You probably already have one if you're selling already. You're going to need an additional one that will be sufficient for the EU. If you've already got one in the EU, then you're going to need one for the UK. So it's vice versa. So let's say, again, that you've got a UK VAT number, you've got a UK EORI number, and currently you're trading just fine. What are you going to need? Well, you're going to need a German VAT number or a VAT number in another country, and you're going to need an EORI number to be able to clear those goods because you're splitting shipments. Okay? So hopefully that breaks it down as to how to prepare for Brexit in the best possible way. There are also a number of other changes that are coming with regards to sort of Amazon potentially collecting and remitting for non-UK businesses as well. There's still a lot of information that's still yet to fold out from that. And plus, there's more changes in July 2021, which are very exciting, which really just make taxes easier. So don't need to worry about them.
Very good. I see Timmy sent over another question, Kels.
Oh, yeah. He's just saying things are going to be different post-Brexit, definitely. And there's definitely going to be clauses that sellers need to be aware of going forward. And we are at the almost 45 minutes in, so we should get into the
very
giveaway,
good.
Big giveaway.
So first of all, I just want to talk about your company a bit. Let's talk about some of the services that you provide.
Yeah, of course. I mean, our core services sort of where the majority of the business that we deal with and entrepreneurs are obviously in the UK and EU. That's our sort of main focus. So UK companies or anywhere really, they're looking to expand into other markets, but mainly UK, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, Poland and Czech. I'm sure you probably know that Amazon have obviously opened up in Sweden, the Netherlands. Ireland is another country that potentially has a marketplace coming in the near future. I don't know that for sure, but we presume so, as well as others as well. So we're assisting VAT registration and also compliance services in those countries. So that's our core business areas. But we also have our UK accounting. So if you're looking to incorporate a UK company, if you're looking for sort of that bookkeeping accounting side, then we can deal with that. We also have the US accounting. So if you're a US business and you want a CPA that's dealing with your accounts, your bookkeeping, all the statutory requirements that obviously need to be filed, then we can also assist with that. And also sales tax, lucky us. We get to deal with both VAT and sales tax. So definitely the EU-UK, definitely the USA. I would also say sort of the other marketplaces on Amazon, the majority that we deal with, so things like looking at UAE, Australia, Saudi Arabia, the list goes on. I'm sure that if you've got a specific requirement, specific country that you're needing assistance in, feel free to reach out to us because I'm sure we'll be able to either help you, we'll be able to have a service offering for you, if not be able to point you in the right direction. So there are core services.
Very good. Where did the name Avast come from?
It's a great question. It's one that I'm still trying to work out myself. And I actually, bizarrely, I got asked on another podcast about a month or so ago saying, what does Avast stand for? And I was sort of like, need to find that out. But I don't actually. I think it's it definitely has a meaning behind a Vask. But it's one of those mysterious names for now that we'll have to find out more at another stage.
Well, you could easily just make up the story, right?
Well, I was going to, but what if I was wrong? It might have been an insult.
So how do people get a hold of you?
So, I mean, Avask website, Avask. I've also got some great resources as well that I want to mention. For any client that's with us, we have a website called theglobalexpanders.com, which is loads of webinars, industry experts coming on, similar sort of thing to this podcast, or different people coming on, which is great. But in terms of how we actually get through, please come through the website. Please email myself at tom.meek. My name's hopefully on screen, at avaskgroup.com. Otherwise, we have expansion at avaskgroup.com. Basically, type in Avask to your Google or to whatever search engine you're using and make an inquiry through there, and we will get back to you pretty much immediately.
So that's A-V-A-S-K, guys. All right. Tom, tell us about the incredible, like, when we asked Tom at the beginning of the podcast, so, hey, is there anything that you can do? And I thought, oh, okay, he's going to send over some lapel pins or a t-shirt. Anyways, he says, yeah, we could do this. And my mouth dropped. Why don't you, and I'll let everybody know how you can claim this prize, but why don't you tell everybody about the prize, as well as the kind of value, you know, the rough ballpark value of the prize.
Yeah, cool. So you want me to go through the offering, the promotion? Yeah,
please.
Yeah, awesome. So obviously, from anyone that's watching this now, it's a bit of a race to who comes through. But so for the first person that comes through to tom.meek@avaskgroup.com, we'll offer 100% off VAT registration costs, which, depending on the amount of countries that you go to, can add up to a very sizable amount, which I'll come into in just a second. So first person that comes through is 100% off VAT registration. The next five people that come through are gonna have 50% off VAT registration. And as we've discussed, depending on the amount of countries you go to, that can be anywhere from, say, £250 right the way through to £1,750. So £1,750 saving if you were to go for that, the full Pan-EU package. So that's for the first person that contacts me. I'm sure, I know, I thought I was already getting an email through there, but it wasn't.
I was going to say, if they post it in the comment section, just all they have to say is Avask 100, first person here gets it. How's that?
That's even easier.
Avask 100.
Yeah. Avask 100 is the code, first person 100% off, and second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, get 50% off. So looking forward to hopefully having some people come through. And just mention the code. See, normally you'll have the list at the end and we can take it from there.
All right. Oh, look, Simon, you're always so quick.
Simon, give everyone else a chance. Come on.
Oh, man. All right. We've got some others coming through. And Yaro, you just have to do it once. Anyways, look, like we said, this is an incredible prize. This is, you know, up to about £1,750. And the five other people are getting 50% off. If you want to take part in that, again, just Avask 100, and we'll just send over the winners over to you, sir. And also, you've got, they've got your email, but we'll do it here. So who, Kelsey, let's tally this up. I think we got everybody that we can.
So we have Simon coming in first.
Congrats, so Simon.
I'll send over the info for that.
Does Yaro win five times?
Yaro has had some trouble. Also, Tom, I know you have to get going. So if you need to get going, I can let you know all the information.
I'm all good. But I just wanted to say that because it's been such a brilliant podcast, and I really appreciate you guys inviting me on, we're happy to extend it further. So if you guys want to say that the next 10 people, we'll offer the 50% off, because I'm feeling extra generous now. So feel free to keep going, guys. Keep getting the Ask 100s in, and we'll look after you, I'm sure.
Oh, that's a great deal. That's a really great deal, Tom. So, hey, thank you for coming on. And all of a sudden, my computer's installing something. But anyways, yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast today. I'd love to have you on again, especially when the changes, are happening. When is it? It's July next year. We could start talking about that the next time we're on the podcast. But there's all sorts of other things that I'd like to talk to you about anyways. So thanks a lot. I know you got a call that you got to get on to, and we really enjoyed having you on.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for having me, Noel. Really good to be a part of it. And hope to speak to you soon.
Say hi to the team for me.
Of course I will. Of course.
All right. See you later.
Have a good one. Speak soon. Yeah.
Bye. All right. So, guys, it looks like, hey, Melanie, you still have to put in the Avask 100. It looks like you won, but just put in a Avask 100 just to make it official. And
so right now we have Simon,
Alan,
number one. We have Alan, and we have Yarrow.
Yeah, and Melanie. We're gonna slip Melanie in there too because she did give the woohoo. Just needed the Avask. All right. So that's it for today's podcast. Let me see. If you are looking at checking out the whole podcast, you can always go to Norman Farrar, a.k.a. The Beard Guy, and listen to the whole podcast, highlights and other types of content. We've got a newsletter that comes out, which really does not suck. Just go over to Lunch with Norm, or you can go over to normanferrar.com and just sign up. It comes out every Monday. It's all content. It's all content to help online sellers become better sellers. So it's not just Amazon. It's right across the board. It also has different clips and video clips that you can watch in case you don't want to read. Let me see. Our next guest, Kelsey. Who's that? Yep. Is Christy.
Yep, Christy Verity.
Is that right?
Yep.
Christy Verity's coming on. So if you guys don't know Christy, you got to tune in. She is she lives in Montreal now, so a fellow Canadian. But hey, I really love this lady. She is great, full of energy. She's going to be just talking about becoming an entrepreneur, how to be a CEO and run your business like a business. We don't talk a lot about that. And I think it's really important that we do treat our businesses like businesses, especially if it's small or medium sized businesses. But anyways, we're going to be diving deep with Christy and we'll talk about that. So Kelsey, do we have anything more?
All right. So if you enjoyed the episode, please like and share it. There's still time for the contest. If you did win, so Simon, you can contact me at k@lunchwithnorm.com. Maybe you can CC me in the email just to make sure that it went through. And that goes with anyone else that's won that's typed in Avask 100. So Alan, Yarrow, I put in Tom's email here. So you can go ahead and email him. And I'll let Tom know that Simon, you came first, and we'll see how generous Tom is afterwards. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We do have our Facebook group, Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-commerce Collective, and we are looking for moderators. So if you want to kind of help us out and come up with ideas,
discussions,
advice, yeah, for the group, just let me know. You can message me on Facebook or my email, k@lunchwithnorm.com. And oh, looks like Alan. I can't believe Alan is up.
Go to bed, Alan.
As always.
These are recorded,
He wants those prizes.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, we really appreciate it. And if you ever have any tips or advice for us to make this a better podcast, you can always reach us at my email again, k@lunchwithnorm.com.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank you guys.
And I do want to just talk a bit more about that group. So The group is about discussion. The group, you know, is really, hey, we can put up all the funny posts you want. That's great. Like them. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, really becoming a better online seller. So you can open up the discussions. You know, Kelsey might post something, you know, a poll or whatever. I know that today we just got another from Sponsored Profit. We got another bonus that we'll put into the group, and that's 50%. I just got it today. So 50% first month, 10% ongoing for their new semi-automatic app, which is very cool. So that's going to be posted. I haven't even told you, Kels, it just came in. But these are the types of things that'll be happening. There's, again, no affiliates in the group, but we want you guys. What are you interested in? Ask questions. Start talking. Give your opinions. Post articles. You know, stuff that that we can share with everybody. We want this to be an incredible group. You know, congrats, Kels. You grew this. I think we're at about 200 people in the last month, and we're doing this all organically. We're not trying to get any, you know, paid people to come in. We want people that are just strictly interested in the group and interested in engaging. So that's about it for today. Yep, that's it. I'll shut up. I go on too long.
Yeah.
Anyways, tune in. Kelsey, do you want your allowance?
What, like $10?
No, it's two, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, tune in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for being part of the community, and enjoy the rest of your day. 100, 100, 100.